You're listening to the Stronger Marching Podcast. What's up, guys? My name is Jonathan, and you're listening to the Stronger Marching Podcast, where we talk about all things marching music education, and that's exactly how we look at it around here. We view marching bands, we view the pageantry arts, the marching arts activity as an integral part of music education in your music education classroom. And guys, I'm so excited. Today, I'm here with Alex Dumichel. Alex, thank you so much for being here with us today with me. I'm so excited for us to talk about Open March. For people that don't know what Open March is, I found you guys on TikTok, which is awesome. Like, maybe that says a lot about my algorithm that I found a drill writing software on TikTok. But hey, I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to talk about lots of things today. But do you want to maybe just introduce yourself and also tell us about Open March? I'm so excited to hear about this.
Yeah, of course. So as you said, my name is Alex Dumichel, and the first thing I want to do is actually shout out my good friend Alexi and my wife Olivia, who they do all of the work with TikTok. In fact, I have never had the TikTok app, and I'm really bad at social media. So them like I could code all day, but like I don't really like I'm bad at social media. So like them doing that, like huge thanks to that because this wouldn't have happened.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, my name is Alex Dumichel. I am a cadet alumnus and Jersey Surf alumnus. I went to JMU for computer science and a bit of music. And I have been, I created the Open March project, which has been going strong for, in the public, about 8 months. But I have been building Open March for about 2 years now. It has gone through a lot of different forms and a lot of different shapes, but as more people have found it and as more people have brought their opinions into it, it is slowly becoming something that the people in the marching arts and ensembles and band directors are using for their programs.
Yeah, and I want to jump in right off the bat and say for directors that are listening to us, the big thing about this is it's free. It's open. And do you call it open source or is that?
Yes.
Okay.
So. Cool. And I realize I don't think I actually said what Open March was.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to say right off the bat for directors that are listening that what's so exciting about what Alex and his team are doing is they're just all about resourcing band directors and giving and I also we'll get into like college music educator, you know, majors and people that are learning how to write drill and all these things. But I think the best thing that I've just gleaned from all the stuff you're doing is that you're really missionally focused to help band directors, to help, you know, music educators, to help people who are learning to write drill, who maybe don't do this every single day, or maybe who do, you know, and are looking for professional level drill writing software. So do you want to tag on to that anything?
Please.
Go ahead.
I realize like,
no,
like,
go ahead.
Talk about Open March and like, you probably can't see me, but I'm wearing a hoodie. They're like, yeah, some people don't know what it is. It is a free and open source drill writing software. It is a desktop app that is available on all major operating systems. Unless you use a weird distro of Linux, then DM me and ask me. But like, it's available on all major operating systems, and it is trying to basically the tagline that I say people to make people kind of understand it a bit better is the MuseScore of drill writing. So many of us know what MuseScore is. It's a very great free tool that does a lot of things, and it gets pretty much most of the way with anything that they want to do. And so with that, we're hoping that we can make that we can make Open March the open source version of drill writing.
Yeah, I love it. So I'd love to hear, you know, you mentioned you're a cadets alumnus, and can you kind of just start by sharing what inspired this? Like we were talking before we started rolling about just like all of the things that you've kind of had your hands in over the years. Like how did you go from kind of the creative drum core side of things to more of the, I mean, you studied software engineering, all the things, what kind of inspired, you know, this thing?
Yeah. So like all things, it started as just like a fun little side project. And I have to credit the idea of this to my then roommate and still current roommate, Diego. He sat me down, this is my sophomore year of college. He sat me down and he's like, Alex, you're a computer science major. You know what you need to do? You need to make drill, like another drill writing software. And I looked at him and I said, no way, I'm not doing that. I'm never going to do that.
Like, that's too much work.
Yeah. I was like, that's too much work. And I was busy. I was like in marching band. I was doing drum corps. Like, I'm like, that's, I'm not doing that. But then, I was a very busy college student, did a lot of stuff, lots of credits and all of that, like clubs and PMA and all that. What happened is after I graduated, I found like, okay, I act like I had all this energy. Like I was very busy in college. I was doing drum corps. And once you're an adult, like you have to decide what you put your energy into. So I put a sticky note on my monitor with the John F. Kennedy quote, "We choose to do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard." And I just kept coding some version of a drill writing software. It started as just like a green box with dots moving forward. And originally it was just to teach me like how coding worked. Like I was starting my job soon and I didn't think I had like a good handle on like modern coding things. So basically everything I know about like web development and like modern like software development came from developing OpenMarch. Like the OpenMarch journey is very synonymous to my journey as a developer. Like if I was looking at the OpenMarch code base 2 years ago, like I wouldn't understand any of it because I have been learning with it. To answer your question about like the inspiration for it, because that was just like the situation I was in. Mm-hmm. But the inspiration, like that's what motivated me to start it. But I think what's really important with side projects like this is that like what's motivating you to like keep going at it and not just like stopping it and like being like, this is too hard. I'm not going to do this anymore. What I found was that, As I wasn't telling a lot of people about this initially because I didn't want to be like that person that was like, I'm building something and then not do it. So I was like, I'm just going to like stay where I am. I'm going to code at night. Like, my girlfriend, now wife, we were like long distancing at that point. So this was kind of me, what I would do to occupy my time. And so as it got further and further, I started to tell more people about it. And the more people I would tell about it, like, there wasn't even an undo redo button when I told like the first few people. And the first thing they said to me was, well, where is it? Like, let me use it. I want to use it right now. Like I'm using PowerPoint. I'm using paper. I'm using like Photoshop to write my drill. I don't care how bad, like just
whoa,
give it to me.
That's crazy.
And like every time I would tell people, they'd be like, where is it? Let me use this. Like, I want to use this. And so like the fact was, is that like, this was a need or at least a want for a lot of people in a lot of different situations, a lot of different ensemble sizes. And I was thinking like, you know, this is something that can like really make a difference in the world that I grew up in. Like the marching band world is where I was. That was like where my first friends were made. So like at the very least, like I have to keep going with this to see what can come of it. Whose programs I can improve, whose like lives I can make easier. And that's what really kept motivating me to go.
Yeah. I love that so much because, you know, I think back about like my own designing experience, you know, as a person who's a full-time designer now. When I started out, you know, I didn't have the money for, you know, the latest greatest version of Pyware or whatever other drill writing software we're using. And the idea of being able to really, I mean, I was using paper, right? Like I went to Staples and printed off, you know, big, you know, 11 by 17, you know, pieces of paper. And so like, you know, you're talking about people that are using all these different types of things. Like this is a game changer for them.
And the PowerPoint for me, though, that one was crazy. I mean, like I could totally picture it, like putting a picture of your floor exactly on a PowerPoint thing because you have all the animations like
and then they
I
move that yep.
Yeah,
that's crazy actually. I mean, props to them, that's awesome. So I mean, what specific, and we can maybe get into this as we talk through this as well, but maybe what gaps did you kind of see in existing drill writing software or just from your personal experience that really fueled that mission to create something that's open for all?
So a couple things. One, the very obvious answer is affordability and accessibility. Mm-hmm. And like, to be frank, like drill writing is a boutique problem. Like this is not a high volume business. It is not a like thing that it's not like Shopify. It's not Amazon. It's not Spotify. Like you're not going to have billions of customers doing this. Like to make drill writing software, marching band is a niche. The drill writer is a niche inside of the niche. Like there can be one drill writer for like seven different marching bands. Like it is not a high volume thing. So like the fact that these tools, like these are specialized tools, and so they were expensive. But because of that, like you mentioned how like when you started designing, you didn't really have the money to get that. I've actually never purchased a drill writing software. I've never used another drill writing software. The first time I ever wrote drill was in OpenMarch, and so I honestly lean on my team, who is like professional drill writers or have connections to a lot of professional drill writers, to figure out like what they want. But like this was also motivated on like me wanting to learn how to write drill. And like I was like, I don't like I can't really spend money on this. And so if me with like a software engineering job doesn't want to do this, like how is a band director how's a band director with a tight budget going to be able to do this? So affordability for one. I wanted another thing was that like people have different expectations of software these days. We mentioned MuseScore earlier. Think about MuseScore now versus MuseScore like 10 years ago. Like it's changed a lot. It's changed a lot because like people's expectations or like even just like what they assume in software has changed a lot. The discipline of UI design, of user interface design has changed a lot. Things are a lot more like user friendly. You don't really want a lot of buttons like thrown at you. Think about like early versions of Word before they had that file tab. They would like hide things from you in a smart way so you weren't like overwhelmed by this amount of buttons. And so that was a huge stance I wanted to take for my own experience as well, to like learn how to build better user interfaces for my professional, like for my real professional job. And I found one of my favorite professors at JMU was a human computer interaction professor. And a lot of the classes I took were focused on like sensible UI design that makes sense, human-centered design. Like the person on the other side of the screen is a human who is making reasonable assumptions about things. Like I don't subscribe to the idea that like, especially for something that shouldn't be as hard like drill writing, that like the person needs to conform to the tool. Mm-hmm. The tool should conform to the person, because like you shouldn't have to read a book or watch a million tutorials to figure out how mm-hmm. to do something. Like when you have PowerPoint, there's a lot of features, and don't get me wrong, PowerPoint isn't like the perfect software, but like you can hop in and like get stuff pretty easily. Where like Photoshop, for example, I think Photoshop could have, even though there's a ton of features, like I don't know how to use that because I haven't had a bunch of tutorials. But also I think like photo editing can get like way more in depth than drill writing. Like drill writing doesn't need to get that deep, or it doesn't need to like appear that deep on the surface. And then I had one more thing. And the other thing I had was, honestly, this is like kind of from the open source perspective. I wanted to have a more, like open dialogue with what the community wants and what the community needs, and be able to like move faster with that. And so with the way that OpenMarch is designed, being built on web app frameworks, being open source, if someone has a really strong opinion or a really good idea for how something should happen, nothing is stopping someone. In fact, people already have implemented these changes themselves. And so all of our like releases, all of our code, all of our feature requests, all of our bug reports are all public. Anyone can comment on them. Anyone can like roast us for our bad ideas. Anyone can like put, and people have, and anyone can like put forth their opinions. And I think like, and we can talk a little bit more about the power of open source, but like, even if it's not open source in particular, like having a more open communication channel between like what the community is asking for, what do small band directors need? What do drum corps drill writers need? What do indoor drill writers need? What do drill writers in Japan need? Like, the thing is like, I don't know the answer to all these questions, and I don't think any one person can. The only person that can know the answer to that is that person. And so why not leave it to the community to make these decisions?
Yeah, that's awesome. There's so many things you said there that I wanted to bounce off of, but I think it's so many great things.
No.
It's awesome, because I think like you're right. You talk about just the idea of like user interface and the user experience like has changed so much, like you said, in the last 10 years. And I remember like early versions of MuseScore. And actually, I wanted to talk about that. Like, let's talk about that. Just this almost like the approach. Like, I remember entering college, which was, gosh, 7 or 8 years ago now, like goodness gracious. And I remember like talking to a professor and like, yeah, what notation software do you use? And I was still using MuseScore. And they were like, isn't that just like a, you know, a bunch of free music on, like nobody, I feel like even at that time, nobody took it seriously. And now it's probably the highest valued, you know, music notation software right now.
It is certainly the most popular. People can have opinions on whether or not it's the best. It is the most by it has to be by miles. Right?
Yeah. And you know, and then again, this is not an episode on notation, but you know, let's talk about user interface and, you know, rest in peace Finale, you know, because it has, you know, it's been 30 years really since it's seen a major, or, you know, it's built on code from 30 years ago. You know, this idea of user interface has just changed so much. And I think that's so wise of you and your team to realize like band directors, and I think just people in general, like when you're frustrated with a tool, I think most people, most designers at least have an idea of kind of what they want, and they just want to be able to do that in the software, right? They don't want to have to figure out the software to then be creative. They want the software to conform and kind of work with them in their creative process.
And there's also like a, I don't want to call it like a curse, but like there's a problem that software that's as popular, let's talk about Finale. If also for anyone listening, or you, Jonathan, if you have ever not seen the YouTuber Tantacruel, he's a composer, he's a software engineer, and he is amazing video. Like one of my favorite videos of his is about the history of Shostakovich, but he's also the lead designer.
Yeah. He basically overhauled MuseScore. Yeah.
Well, because he made a video roasting it. He's like, this is why it sucks. And then they were like, do you want to do it? And then he like did it. So he made a like an hour and a half long video about like Finale. And I was watching that video, and I was taking notes on it. Like I was reading a textbook. Cause it was like, this is how software dies. And I'm like, okay, how do I avoid this? Like, what am I going to do? But one thing that, that Finale did that like, isn't just a Finale problem, but is like a problem that happens like as software that's very popular, like starts to age, is that like, they run into this problem where they have a very large user base of people that like know how things should be done. They're like, okay, I've used the software for like 8 years. I know the quirks, I know the bugs, and I've gotten used to it. So don't you dare change it. Because
don't fix the bugs. Yeah,
don't fix it. Like I'm used to this. Like I know how this works. Where like then you have your new users who don't have those years of experience. And it's like kind of impossible. I mean, it's not impossible, but it's hard. It's hard to, if you don't fix these bugs early on, or you don't make a sensible user experience early on, or iterate off of things before people start getting used to these quirks, then like you're going to be sentenced to like that people being used to those things. Yeah. And so like Finale was in a hard place because, I mean, it's also not a very high volume business. MuseScore was getting better and better. Dorico, and I mean, I don't know, do people use Sibelius anymore? I mean, probably, but like Dorico, Sibelius, whatever the other one is, like, I think the other one was Finale, but these tools just like there was becoming less and less reasons to use them. I also want to highlight, like you mentioned how like MuseScore is super crazy popular, but like the people that want to pay for Dorico and that want to pay for Sibelius are going to do it. But like, if you're just writing like a choir arrangement for your like 20 person choir, like do you really need Dorico? Like probably not. I mean, if you want it, then you can do it. But like, I've never paid for music notation software, and like MuseScore has been awesome.
Yeah. I think it's a testament to the broader attitude of people kind of in our industry and in education that we're kind of more open to these tools that are really great tools and are still free. Right. It's almost like you can have your cake and eat it too. You know, it's like you can have this really great software and it not cost you an arm and a leg. And so,
and what I loved was as a student, like if my band director wrote something in MuseScore, like in an arrangement, and then I, as a student, I'm like, I want to like play around with this. They can send me the file and like, I can play around with it too. Like that to me sounds awesome. Like the fact that like you as a student could like get your hands dirty. You wouldn't need to like, all right, now I'm going to do this Finale trial and then I have to like figure this out. Like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so bouncing off of that, let's go here. So your tagline for Open March is stay free, stay fast, stay simple. How did you settle on those as guiding principles? And how does that inform your design decisions as far as like an app is concerned?
Yes, absolutely. So those are also in an order of priority. Like that's how we, when I'm making the decisions, influence the decisions that we are making as a project. And so the first thing, stay free. That doesn't just mean don't charge for things. That means make sure that this company isn't reliant. Like if I get hit by a bus, that like Open March isn't going to stop. I mean, maybe it won't continue at full speed, but like there isn't for example, if every person at Spotify got hit by a bus, that'd be a lot of people. But like, if that happened, like if Spotify would stop. Like Spotify is an active service that like has to have servers running. It has to have people maintaining it. Where like Open March, yeah, it has bugs, but we decided to go the desktop app route because that costs us $0. Like we have almost close to $10,000 right now. I've been charged $0 for that. Like GitHub, which is hosted by Microsoft, just lets you do that for free when a repository is public. By that, I mean, like, if you let the public see your code, then you can just give free downloads like that. The only thing I need to pay for to keep, like, OpenMarch running is the $12 a year for the domain, like openmarch.com. And then there's like a few other subscriptions mixed in, and we're like, you're building, trying to build like an online platform and services, and like all of that is going to cost a bit of money, and we're probably going to like charge for those. But like the desktop app itself is designed to be at a zero operating cost thing. So like even if OpenMarch LLC goes bankrupt, like that app doesn't go anywhere. So that's the stay free. Did you want to tag on?
No, go ahead. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah. The stay fast. It's just, I mean, it, like basically as you're designing it, like it could be anything from like, don't write greedy for loops. If you're a developer, know what that means, but like don't write code that makes things really, really, slow. Don't write things that like are convoluted. Don't make it take a super long time to do anything. And so like, that just goes into like, if someone wants to make a circle or a line or a follow the leader, like what is the quickest way for them to do that? And so that also kind of goes into stay simple, like fast and simple are like kind of, well, I guess fast is more like it's from a UI standpoint, but it's also from like a programming standpoint. Like it was just me deciding like, what is the best way to store this data to make it like the most efficient? And then simple, goes into like I was saying, just like having a minimalist UI, few buttons, not overwhelming the user, not having someone who's completely new at it be completely lost. Like, yeah, there's some confusing things right now and it's certainly not perfect, but like, you can make a marcher and just drag around, and yeah, the shape tools are like pretty immature right now, if non-existent for some things, but like you can, if you have like 20 marchers, you can click around and like make your own shapes and rotate them and stretch them. And it works. So I wanted to be able to always hit, like if someone didn't want to put a lot of brain energy into the app, like for them to be able to do that.
Yeah. And I do want to say, just from a personal standpoint, I've downloaded the desktop version, and, you know, I was very impressed with just how quickly I could get performers on the field, right? Like I remember the first time, maybe I'm like a little bit smarter with it now than I was like 7-8 years ago, but I remember the first time I opened Pyware, and this is not a shade on Pyware. I'm just saying it took an act of God, like for me to figure out how to get performers on the field. Like I was just like, how does this work? And so I think like you saying, simple UI, and just, and also we've probably come a long way with understanding technology and how it works, but I was just really impressed with how quickly you can get things on the field, move things around, how, you know, easy it is to kind of understand just that, you know, importing audio and different sets and different things like that. I was just really, I'm impressed with it personally. So, kind of a tag on question to that, and this may be kind of just obvious, but for directors with limited budgets, how are you empowering them compared to those traditional paid platforms?
So, yeah, I mean, the obvious, but also not really. Like there are things that I've never even thought about, that people have emailed me or you've asked for testimonials. And so like one thing, one of the testimonials on our website, I got to find the name of this guy because it brought tears to my eyes when I saw it. It's on the front page of our website. Hopefully he's fine with me saying this. Brandon Wright. He's a K-12 band director, and I think he teaches elementary school, middle school, and high school. Mm-hmm. And he was literally saying I think originally he wrote his drill on paper or something, or whatever he was doing before wasn't as fast. And he said, not only did OpenMarch save him money, it saved him time, which to a lot of people is equivalent to money.
Yeah.
And because of that, he was able to do more with his elementary school students or lesson prep faster and just get more stuff done sooner so that he could be rested for his students and so that he could just spend more time on other things. And so it could also go into like, one, yeah, you don't have to pay like a license fee, but like two, if you have a band of like 30 people, maybe you don't need to hire, like spend a few thousand dollars on a drill designer if you're feeling brave. And like the thing that's great is also like, if you're not sure about that and you're like on the fence, like, do we really have, like, I just kind of, I'm not sure if I like want to do it myself. You can just download it, try it out. If you like start to, feel the flow of it and you're like, I think I can do this, then great. And if not, like you don't need a refund or anything. Like it's just the cost of entry and the opportunity cost that you have is only trying to do it yourself. And so, yeah, I think in those two things, like whether it be someone being able to write their own drill, someone being able to, just have more time to do other things. And then the last thing I think is if Open March gets more popular and like a lot more people start using it, like maybe you hire a drill writer that uses Open March, like you could open the file yourself when you need to make an edit without needing to buy a license yourself. Like I can't even articulate how many stories I've heard of band directors being like, this person dropped or I need this drill fixed. Yeah. And like the drill writer is like busy with like 20 other schools or something. Like if you're just, cause some band directors are like, even like, I know what needs to be fixed. I either don't know how to do it or I don't have Pyware. Yeah. And so if you're able to do this and just fix it yourself super quickly, like how much time and stress is that going to save?
Yeah, exactly. I love it. And let's tag on that. Like for a director that is just starting to use Open March, they love the idea of it. They've downloaded it. What kind of workflow or what best tips would you give to them? Like in audible, you know, instructions, I guess. But like, what would you give to them to just kind of get their hands dirty and have a successful first run at it?
So at the time of recording, this is August 12th, 2025, the most obvious thing I would say is your tempo. Like, get your tempo right. Mm. We have a way, it's very similar and was inspired by the way TE Tuner inputs tempo. You can either tap it if you'd like and you're brave. I don't recommend doing that, but you can do it. You can either tap your tempo or you can enter it manually. Do that, make sure that's right, and then start writing your show, because currently, and we're working on this, editing tempo after the fact is a bit wonky, and also some people like it's if you don't add tempo first, like you can't add more pages. It's pretty confusing. So we're fixing that. So tempo, one thing. The second thing is always be cognizant of like drill that's easy to march. Like think back to when you were in marching band, or maybe if you march drum corps, like. Are you on checkpoints that are easy to find? One of the quickest things that you can do is just like align your march. There's an easy hack that a lot of people know, like marchers on the yard markers, not like on two split is easy like to write, but like on the yard markers, Open March has a feature where you can change the coordinate rounding to be to every 1.6 steps on the x-axis, which will make the marchers only snap to the yard markers. So if you want something that's really, really easy, you could do that. The last thing I'll say, or two more things, if you have like a custom field that you want, like maybe you want 30 to 30, only backhash and up, you can edit your field in any way you want. So I would do that as well before you start writing, because editing your field after the fact kind of leads to some weird behavior. So edit like your bounds first. And then the last thing I'll say is, I believe they're uploaded. I don't know if they're public now, but they're like unlisted links. We filmed a bunch of tutorials and we have guides on our websites for a lot of these things to do. So if you're ever confused and just want a rundown, you can watch one of our tutorials. If you don't like the sound of my voice or don't think it's helpful, like you can always reach out to us on Discord. If you yell at me enough, or if you at mention me enough, like I'll respond. Just like it might take me, I might be like working or sleeping or something, but I promise you, I will respond. I don't think there's anything on Discord that I have not responded to. I'm sure like one person's going to be like, well, you didn't respond to me about my follow the leader comment, but like, I am here, and the Open March team and the Open March community, hopefully, is here to make your journey better and to make the software better. So like, if you're having trouble with something, or there's some, like, if I hear the same complaint over and over again, like, that's not me saying, well, you guys just need to get better. It's me saying, well, clearly this is a pattern. So like, this is an us problem now, not a you problem. So yes.
Yeah, I love it. And for people that are listening that are maybe thinking about, you know, designing your own show or kind of getting in there, you were talking about like designing a field that is, you know, very strategic to you, like blowing that field up to the 30s or whatever. You can go back and listen to episode 9, where I talk about design tips for small bands. We're talking, you know, about all sizes of bands, but especially small bands, maybe with more limited budgets. This is an awesome tool for them. So just want to put that plug in there. Band directors or designers will listen to that. So kind of on that train, what are some maybe enhancements that are coming next? Or as you guys, I know you're talking about bug fixes and some different things as people are, you know, kind of mentioning those to you, but what are some things maybe coming down the pipeline that we could be excited about?
So the most immediate thing that has been the most requested feature, it's actually a meme at this point, like internally, is, and I pinned like some person just who like just joined the server, who like asked the feature is follow the leader. Everyone and their mother, sometimes literally, is asking me for follow the leader. And like someone in the Discord like said it once, and it was like the 30th time that it had been said. And I'm not going to be like, make sure you check in, like whatever. Like people don't.
Yeah.
When I join a server, I'm not going to read all of it. So like it doesn't bug me. But I just I was like I liked it, or I like fire reacted it or something, and then I pinned it to the channel. And it was like this person's first message in like the channel, and like
here
in
you
the
are
server
for
ever.
All to see.
And
I mean,
I thought that was funny, but like people still ask me for it. But on that, the reason I bring it up is like that is literally what I'm working on right now. Like before I joined this call, like curve pathways, follow the leader, leaving at different counts in the set. Open March is currently, and it's like quasi finished. Like if you had all of the data, like it would animate in a curved pathway. So like the heart, like the data part is done. The part that isn't done is actually like the UI for it. And like I just talked to you about like how important UI is. Like if I just give you a crappy UI, like that's not going to be very helpful. So like currently curved pathways are in the pipeline. I can talk for a long time about like how that technically works, but I don't know if your audience cares. Another thing is better shapes. So we have like, whether it be drawing shapes, like with your hand, if you want to draw something and have the marchers distribute, if you wanted to like import your school's logo or something like an SVG and have the marchers like snap to that, we're working on something like that. Just more reasonable, like, or sensible shapes, whether it be like circles, boxes, filled in shapes, things like that. And, a slightly better way to decide when marchers are going from one set to another. So those are honestly like, oh, and props. Props actually will probably take me 5 hours to do. It just like there's so many things getting in the way. Like it's just like, yes, props need to happen. and we have like a whole list of these things.
Sure.
Those in particular, like I think there's like 80 different feature requests and bugs on the repo, but like those in particular are like, this is still like a bare minimum where we're like going to say like, this is glaring. Like we get it. Like this is not where we're not like saying, oh, just get over it. It's fine. Like not having curved pathways, not having sensible shapes, and not having props is like kind of inexcusable. It's just, we're doing our best.
It just takes time.
Like,
yeah.
We're just going to get it in. And, that's sort of when, like at that point, once those are done in a place where we like, we're hoping to have all of that out by, it was going to be August. Now it's going to be September. It's probably going to be October now. That's when we want to have 0.1 out. Like we have this 0.0.12 version. That is like when 0.1 is going to hit, is when we get all of those out. And that's the desktop app. And then as far as like other things, we have a few side projects that we're working on, like for example, we're building since it's all built in the web browser, we're building an online sharing platform where someone can like send a link to, like if you're a designer, you can send a link to a band director and be like, hey, can you like check this out? You can leave a comment on like the show, leave a comment like on a per page thing, maybe even annotate up the field. That's in its very, very early stages, but like some sort of Open March cloud, like we haven't figured out exactly what it is. Like we don't want to build something people don't want, and like we're really looking for like anything that like would make people's lives a bit easier, and also to be transparent, like something that people might want to be willing to pay for. Like the desktop app is always going to be free, but like if there's an extra add-on or extra like online services or like cloud synchronization that we could do, that's something that we've looked into as well. But that's very like, we only want to do it if people want it.
Sure. I love that. I think that's great. It's just so many things that you talked about. I see, you know, the ability to share like that. That to me seems like a really big thing. The opportunity to, like we talked about, budding drill designers or budding designers to be able to like have this, this software and then share it with other people and get feedback on it. Like that feels like a really awesome feature to me. And then let's maybe shift gears a little bit. I wanted to ask you, on the same topic, but we've talked a lot about, you know, for small bands or for directors that may not be doing a lot of drill designing, or for, you know, maybe music education students that are kind of getting into the field, what would you have to say to like, maybe like full-time designers or people that are kind of in this world and have been using maybe another software? You know, is this a software that you'd say, hey, here's some things that are really beneficial for you as well, some things beneficial for your clients. What would maybe your word be to some of those people?
So for professional drill riders, the most glaring thing that I'll say that like we can't really do anything about right now is like if your clients are like, we need UDB and that's not like a negotiable, Yopa March currently does not have UDB support. So like one, make sure you're transparent about that.
Sure.
Because some band directors are very non-negotiable about it. But two, if that's fine and like we're working on getting the mobile problem solved in one way or another. But if they're not really using a mobile app anyway, one thing that I think would be a main benefit is what I mentioned earlier, where like you can send them the drill in like a .dots file, or you can send it in PDFs, whatever it is, and like they can download OpenMarch and poke around in it themselves if they would like to. And I really think, like as you said, like there's a few quirks with OpenMarch, but like you can, it's once you have a file and you like if for example, if I'm a band director and my writer sends me a .dots file, which is an OpenMarch file, I download OpenMarch and I use it, like there isn't really a lot for me that I need to do. And if I wanted to like edit where a marcher was, it's like as easy as doing it in PowerPoint. It doesn't like break a million other things. Like you can tweak it yourself, you can edit it a little bit. So one, there's that. Two, it's just it kind of just like flows really well. Like when I was writing drill, like it's very easy to just kind of sketch things on the page. Like if you have a client that like needs you to use UDB, or you're used to Envision and you like, or you want to use Pyware or whatever, like you can use OpenMarch as a sort of like drafting area to like start what you want to do. And like you can easily go like from there, now that you have all of these written out, like then go to Pyware, like as sort of a sketchbook. Again, that might be a little bit of a stretch for some people, but like I've definitely like used it to like figure out marching exercises and different things like that. So just like if you're already used to and already going to use like the one of the big names, like feel free to use OpenMarch as a sketchpad. Like it's free, so like
yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, I love it. And no listener left behind, just UDB Ultimate Drill Book. You know, it, for those of you that may not be familiar, is an app. Ultimate Drill Book is also a company, but their main app and their main product is a digital app to be able to open like Pyware files for students, specifically for students. It's a viewing file. So just wanted to put that out there too.
Yes,
but yeah,
yes,
I love that. Right. This idea of, you know, here's something that a band director could open up and say, here's some different forms or different things that I'd really like to see. And then that drill designer being able to interchange that. That's great. I want to touch on this a little bit because I really kind of want to just call it out very specifically. I love the idea of kind of all these things that we've been talking about, this resource for budding drill designers, budding, you know, marching arts designers. Do you see kind of OpenMarch being adopted as a teaching tool for like, I'm thinking specifically like college music ed majors, like that marching music methods class, like, do you have any plans for that or any words of wisdom for people who are kind of getting into this, you know, for the first time?
So words of wisdom, no, I've never taken a marching methods class, but I do have, some things that I do want to say about it, because this has actually been something that has been brought up to me multiple times. And I completely agree with like kind of the sentiment you're saying, where like, or I can see like how this sort of thing would be insanely popular in a marching methods class or something of that sort. The current way it is right now, like if you, for example, if the industry standard is Pyware, a lot of what people like of what some professors say is like, well, you're going to be using this anyway because you need to use this because it's the only option. So you're going to buy a license because you need to anyway, and then you're going to learn how to use it because that's what you're going to use. If you're not even sure if you're going to write drill, or you want like just to dip your toes in it, or you don't want to spend money because you're a college student and $500 as a college student probably really hurts. I mean, maybe there's like educational deals that I don't know about, but like, yeah, I think this is absolutely a place where OpenMarch can thrive. And in fact, one of my friends who I marched at Cadets with and taught Cavaliers this summer, I was talking to her, and she said that at her college in New Jersey, like they used this for their marching methods class.
Oh wow, that's awesome!
And I was like, what? Like they would like I did not realize that like people are already using it, but like there are probably people who have, depending on like what the requirements of the class are, who are already using it for their class, and like I don't even know about it. But as far as like how we can specialize for those things, like maybe, I mean, I don't want to like make a whole new Canvas thing or like a Google Classroom OpenMarch version. So what I would like to say is, if you're a student or if you're a professor who teaches a marching methods class, and you have ideas for like what would be helpful as a student or what would be helpful as a teacher for these things, like please reach out to me and like But like I said, I've never taken a marching methods class before, so I would love to dig in deeper to this, because I do think it's like exactly the type of thing that like a college student who's like, you know, short on cash would absolutely love and benefit from.
Yeah, much better than carrying around a folder full of 11.5 by 17 papers throughout, you know, and having them all over the place. Yeah, right. Yeah. No, I love it. I love it. Well, we've talked a lot about
11.5 by 17
or 11 by 17. Yeah, no, like a tabloid sized paper. Like, you know, I'm telling you, man, that's what I did in college. Like, blew them up like, you know, football field on 11 by 17. God. Actually, I've got nobody can see it because I'm not going to publish the video, but I've got Pyware. It gives away. Yeah, I've actually got them on my desk here. Little drawing pads, 11 by 17s. Anyway, yeah, the little squirrel moment, right? No, yeah. I was going to say we talked a lot about like what you guys are doing, just all the resources you have. What can the marching arts community do to support you? Like, if somebody's like, hey, I love this, obviously download it, but talk about where we can find you. You know, how, I mean, it's very easy to download. I did it, you know, literally today before we got on this podcast together. But what can we do to support you? And if somebody's really passionate about this and wants to financially support you, talk about that too.
Yeah. So the first place you can go is if you just want to know anything about the project, openmarch.com is a great place to start. On there, we have a link to all of our social medias. We have a link to our guides, the page that describes everyone on our team and what we're doing and like where we're from and what kind of things we do. But there's a few ways you can support us. The first thing I say is join the Discord server. And if the Facebook users group, if that's more your speed, the Discord server seems to be the most popular one right now. But join that, like, just be part of the community, like talk about what you want, talk about what you're having trouble with. As far as like a community standpoint, like, yeah, that isn't giving us any like financial support, but like honestly having people that are asking us about this or having like feedback that's coming in is like sort of a little bit more valuable than you giving us money. Like, don't get me wrong. Like I'll tell you how to donate. And I'd love you to donate, but like that this is also a game of like internal motivation. Like I'm a human. Everyone on the Open March team is a human. If we don't think people want this to happen and we like it's kind of like I mean, I don't want to say like a 10-year-old that like constantly needs validation, but like it's helpful when I like go to finals and when I like hear people doing things, I'm like, oh yeah, people are doing this. So like keep working on it. So one, that's the first thing. The second thing, if you want to financially support us, is there's a couple ways you can do it. If you want to get something in return, you can go on our website. There's a link to our merch, or you can go to store.openmarch.com and you can get yourself a t-shirt. We have hoodies, this hoodie that you can't see because there's no camera in this podcast, but we also have stickers. We also have patches, and we're probably going to have a lot more merch later down the road. So any of that is super supportive. If you're like, I don't really want any merch, I just want to throw money at the wall, that's great. We will absolutely take that and do very valuable things with it. You can do that in one of two ways. On our website, there is a link to our Patreon where you can become a member and donate like a certain amount a month. I send the patrons an occasional email every now and then, maybe send them free stickers, but most of my time is spent coding, so like don't expect any crazy sort of patron benefits. But if you're like, I don't want to do that, then there's also a donate button on the website where you can just send us a one-time thing, whether it be like with Apple Pay, Google Pay, that goes through Stripe. So like if you go to our website, there's a store, there's a Patreon, there's it, like we make it present for you, not in an annoying way, but like you'll be able to find something if you're like really hoping to get involved or contribute.
Yeah, I love it. And so for all the band directors that save all the time with the Open March, you know, donate the money that you're saving, you know, all that time you're saving, donate money, you know, head on over to openmarch.com, right? Is that the?
Yes, openmarch.com. And then there's a plethora of links and stuff you can go to from there.
I love it. So Alex, if people do want to get in touch with you or have questions or want to get in contact with you, it sounds like the Discord server is a great place to do that.
Discord server is one. If a quicker way to get my attention, although I do like that, sometimes I turn off Discord notifications because there's just so many, like I check it, but it just doesn't pop up on my phone. If you like have something super urgent, contact@openmarch.com goes right to me, or alexdumo@openmarch.com. That's alexdumo at openmarch.com. Both of those just go right to me. So you're free to email me. And then messaging the Open March Instagram, like really, if you want to like get in contact with me specifically, that email or Discord is the best. If you like have any marketing or branding questions, the Instagram has a few people managing it. And so that might be a better or more appropriate place for that, I guess.
Sure. And what's your Instagram, for people to follow?
at Open March App, no spaces, all lowercase.
I love it. So go take a follow on, or go give a follow on Instagram. Go give Open March a follow, and on TikTok, where I found him. And,
God, I don't know what the TikTok is. It's like, I don't probably, have TikTok.
Yeah, probably it's, something similar there, right?
Like
yeah.
Open March App. It's on our website, I bet.
I love it.
Might not be though. Yeah.
Well, Alex, I'm so thankful for your time today. Thanks for just chatting about all the things. I'm so excited to see where Open March goes, where you guys go. Love the mission and the vision your team has. Just want to really encourage all the listeners, go check it out. Go download it. It's free. Y'all go download it. And Alex, just want to say thank you for your time and for your team's time. And guys, this has been the Stronger Marching Podcast. Once again, my name is Jonathan, and would love, if you want to get in contact with me, you can email info@jonathanmartinmusic.com or find me on Instagram @Jonathan_Martin_music. Until next time, this has been the Stronger Marching Podcast.